If today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. We sing, if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And that one line tells us at least two things about God and about us. God is speaking. And God wants us to hear Him. Harden not your heart. God is speaking. He wants us to hear Him. And He is telling us what prevents us from hearing Him. Harden not your heart, says Psalm 95, as at Meribah, and as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. Harden not your heart. Well, what happened at Meribah? What happened at Massah? God is speaking, God wants us to hear Him, and He's telling us that what happened at Meribah, what happened at Massah, is what prevents our hearts from hearing Him. So what happened? Exodus 17. That's where we hear about Meribah and Massah. But Exodus 17 comes after Exodus 16. And Exodus 16 comes after Exodus 15. And Exodus 15 comes after Exodus 14. You know what happened in Exodus 14? The Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Like, the strongest army in the world was pursuing Israel, or the Hebrews. The strongest army in the history of the world was pursuing the Hebrews, and the Hebrews were escaping from slavery in Egypt, and God said, I will fight for you. You have only to be still. So the Hebrews waited on the Lord. The Hebrews trusted in the Lord. The Hebrews resisted the temptation to be afraid of the Egyptians. And God came through. The Red Sea was parted in two. The ground was dried up. And the Hebrews walked into freedom. You know the story. After that, the Egyptians came through the water and God drowned the Egyptians in the sea. The Hebrews were free because of the power of God. So all of, that's Exodus 14. Then all of Exodus 15 is a song of praise to God for what God has done that we might never forget His power and His care for us. But then there's a problem. The Hebrews, on the other side of the Red Sea, they're in the desert, and there ain't no water. And there ain't no food. So that takes us to the end of Exodus 15. Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea and into the desert, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. So there was water, but there was something wrong with it. So what does God do? God says, Moses, I want you to take this little tree and throw it into the water. And through the then I am going to work a miracle through that sign. By you taking the wood of the tree and casting it into the water, I am going to make that water safe to drink. That's a prefiguration of the wood of the cross, which sanctifies the water of baptism. So God makes the water able to drink, and the Hebrews have enough to drink. But there's another problem. Now they ain't got nothing to eat. So they cry out to God. And they say, God, we ain't got nothing to eat. And what does God do? God says, every morning I'm going to provide for you manna from heaven. And you will have enough to eat. And so they did. Every morning the dew would come on the ground, and when the dew would evaporate, there was manna, and they would go and they would get it and they would eat it, and God provided. That's Exodus 16. Exodus 17. All the congregation of the sons of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin, aptly named. It's a coincidence, but it's aptly named. But the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and against God and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? If today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Think about this. God had just saved Israel from the strongest army in the world. Israel was thirsty, and God had just provided water. Israel was hungry, and God had just provided food. And now, just one chapter later, they're thirsty again, and they say, God is not going to provide. Harden not your heart. Trust me. I work miracles in your life because I want you to trust me. I want you to believe that I have your best interest. I want you to believe that I am going to make you happy. Yet how often, like the Israelites, do we harden our hearts? Do we blaspheme against God? God, you don't want to make me happy. If you did, why would I be suffering so much? Why would I get sick? Why would I have problems in my family? Why would I not have water to drink? God says, I will always provide for you. And so, God tells Moses, He says, Moses, take a rod which you use to part the waters of the Red Sea and go and hit this rock. And from the rock will spring forth water. And so it does. And the Hebrews have water to drink. Only after having hardened their hearts and then letting God soften them. So the Hebrews spend all this time in the desert. Why didn't God just lead them straight to the Promised Land? Why did God provide these trials for them? Because God had gotten the Hebrews out of Egypt, but He hadn't yet gotten Egypt out of the Hebrews. God had gotten the Hebrews out of Egypt, but He had not yet gotten Egypt out of the Hebrews. They still thought that our God was like the gods of the Egyptians. They still thought that our God was untrustworthy. They still thought that our God could change His mind. They still thought that I didn't really care for them. Harden not your heart. Trust me. Trust me to provide. Let go of your hardness. And eventually, and slowly, they do, more or less, under the guidance of Moses. And Moses says to them in the book of Deuteronomy, right before he dies, 35, 40 years later, he says, y'all, God will raise up for you a prophet like me. God will raise up for you a new Moses who will speak His word with power. God will raise up for you a new Moses who will break through the hardness of your heart and bring you to trust in me. And 1,500 years later, in a little tiny town called Capernaum, the new Moses burst onto the scene. And immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, a demon. And Jesus cast him out. Notice that the guy who was oppressed by the demon, he didn't ask Jesus for the demon to come out. He just got there. And Jesus said, get out of him. I wonder, does he even know he has a demon? Or maybe he goes to church every Sunday. Says, yeah, you know, I got my little demons, but everybody has those. It's not a big deal. Or maybe he had made friends with his demon. Maybe he liked it. Maybe he didn't want to stop.
interacting with his demon. Harden not your heart.
Y'all, every time we sin, even venial sin, we give an opportunity for the enemy to affect us. Every little sin of ours opens up just little windows for the enemy to tempt us even more. Every little sin of ours just kind of forms bad habits. Habits of sin in our hearts. And sometimes I come to Mass on Sunday and I don't even know. Sometimes I come to Mass on Sunday and I don't even realize my sin. Sometimes I come to Mass on Sunday and I have a couple sins that I know I've done and that I know I've been doing, like speeding. That's all the time. And it's like, man, I know darn good and well that I should leave earlier. And I know darn good and well I shouldn't be speeding and then fussing at myself because I'm speeding and because I'm late. Every time I come to church, I seem to have done that. My little demon is not it's not a big deal. I've rationalized it away. Sometimes, yikes, we get to liken our demons. Lord, I don't know if I want you to cast it out. Because I'm kind of comfortable where I am. I've kind of made friends with the sin. And God says to me and to you today, harden not your heart. Because I am speaking to you right now. And because I don't want any barrier to come in the way of my relationship with you. I will cast armies into the sea for you. I will make bitter water sweet for you. I will rain down manna from heaven for you. I will die on the cross for you. Everything I've got. Everything that God has is poured out. Poured out for you. Harden not your heart. Because He is speaking today. So as Lent comes upon us, just 3 weeks from now, I think, where are our hearts hardened? What are those little sins that we say are not a big deal? More importantly even than those, what demon have you made friends with? Have I made friends with? I'm going to be honest with you. I've made friends with the sin of pride. I like to... sin of vainglory. I like to be really productive. I like to get lots of stuff done. And so I wake up in the morning, I pray a little bit, I go work out, I come home, and I'm supposed to make a holy hour. Supposed to. Like, nobody's like watching me. But I know that in my state in life as a priest, and where I am right now, that I need to make a holy hour from 6:15 to 7:15 every morning. Except on Wednesdays, and I make it before Bible study. And I come home, and I start doing stuff, and I might start doing work, or I might start getting lazy, and next thing I know, it's 6:30, and I'm still not in the chapel. Because I'm more concerned about, like, finishing our marriage formation program, or writing something for the bulletin than I am about being with Jesus. So I eventually go and I spend a little time with Jesus.
But I made friends with my singles.
And so for Lent, one of my penances is going to be, instead of spending an hour with Jesus every day, it's going to be to spend 90 minutes. Because I need that to act against, to break off my relationship with the demon of pride and to cling closer to God. I don't know what that is for you. We each have a predominant fault. One of the seven deadly sins. Gluttony or sloth or greed or envy or anger or pride or... I'm missing one. We all have a predominant fault. We all have some demon that we're more inclined to make friends with. As we approach Lent, what is that for you? With which demon do you need to break off relationship to cling to God? Harden not your hearts, because He is speaking today. Because He drowns armies for you. Because He provides water and provides food for you. Because He gives everything for you.